that sprout out laterally from each centrum. They're called transverse processes. And the reason that they're there is that they act as buttresses that help attach the ribs to the 12 thoracic vertebrae. So these anchor the ribs and support them and make sure that the ribs are aligned properly. And each thoracic vertebrae has some of these nice transverse processes. The ribs attached to all of the 12 thoracic vertebrae curve around the anterior side of the body until they eventually terminate on another bone called the sternum. And of course, the ribs are there to enclose the lungs and to provide a rigid external framework for the pleural cavity so that the lungs have a nice stable structure to expand and deflate in. As we move down the axial skeleton, we run into additional vertebrae of the lower back. These are the 5 lumbar vertebrae. They're distinctive because they have very large centra. And that makes sense. The lumbar vertebrae are carrying the weight of all the body that's above them, and so the farther down the back they get, the larger they have to be, just like the blocks on the bottom of a pyramid have to be bigger than the blocks on the top of a pyramid. So the lumbar vertebrae are quite distinctive because they have very large centra that bear all the weight of the body. Now, one of the remarkable things about mammals is that the numbers of vertebrae in the axial skeleton are pretty much constant. All mammals on Earth have 7 bones in their neck, so that a mouse can have 7 cervical vertebrae, even if it has a very tiny neck, and a giraffe also has 7 cervical vertebrae, even though it has a very long neck. So the number of vertebrae in these various body segments is pretty much fixed for mammalian species. Now, that isn't true of other types of species. Reptiles can have quite variable numbers of vertebrae. And if you look at the skeletons of dinosaurs that you can see in museums, you notice that a brontosaurus can have 10 to 20 cervical vertebrae. So in many animals, the number of vertebrae per body segment is somewhat variable. But in mammals, they're pretty much constant. And that probably relates to the fact that all mammals are probably descended from a common ancestor, and the basic body plan of that ancestor has been maintained throughout evolution. Well, one of the questions you might want to ask yourself about these vertebrae is, why are they all so different, and why are the vertebrae located in specific segments of the body? The human body, like the body of many mammals, is highly segmented, and each body segment has its own specific features. This is actually kind of a useful feature of the human body and other mammalian bodies because throughout evolution, it's allowed animals to adapt fairly easily to different environmental changes. If an animal needed to develop a longer neck so it could reach leaves more easily, it was possible to just change a couple body segments rather than the entire body to achieve this goal. So by focusing on changing individual body segments, evolution is made much more easily and animals are much more adaptable. So it's very useful to have a segmented body like human beings have. But where do these body segments come from? Well, for a long time, anatomy was just a descriptive science. We could describe what the body looks like, but we didn't really have any idea of the force